Good afternoon. Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. We're here each Sunday at noon. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from 1 minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions, so give us a call right here in our studio. We do have a guest, though, a special guest, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. And Karen, you can't keep a senator on hold too long. So as promised, let's get straight to our important guest today. And I take really great pride in introducing Senator Alan Hayes. Senator Alan Hayes was first elected to the Florida Senate in 2010, representing District 20. He previously served in the House of Representatives from 2004 until 2010. Senator Hayes currently serves in the Senate on numerous committees. He's a 1976 charter class graduate of the University of Florida College of Dentistry, so by trade he's also a dentist, and is now semi-retired. Senator Hayes and his wife, Jean, live in Umatilla and are the proud parents of three grown daughters and, of course, love all of their five wonderful grandchildren. And most importantly for fans of this show, they may recall Senator Hayes sponsored our HOA bill 2 years ago in the Florida Senate, and which ultimately became law in Florida. And the highlights of that bill, just let's remind everybody real quick really what Senator Hayes sponsored and what he did for all the HOA owners in the state of Florida. That bill that he helped get passed required HOA board members to get certified, just like condo board members. He removed HOA board members who get arrested for stealing association funds until Senator Hayes actually stepped in and did that. We had directors of HOAs continuing to serve as directors from prison. So thanks for taking care of that. Requiring HOAs to carry theft insurance should money get stolen from the community. Requiring HOAs to register with the state of Florida. Allowing owners now, for both condos and HOAs now, allowing owners to use their cell phones and their cameras to get copies of association records. Passed legislation which prevented kickbacks to directors of community associations. Passed legislation that provided for full disclosure should a community want to do business with a director of the association, and passed legislation requiring community association managers to comply with the provisions of Florida Statutes 718, 719, and 720, or face penalties. So really a true great piece of legislation for owners and HOAs and condos. So without much further ado, let's welcome Senator Alan Hayes to the show. Welcome, Senator. How are you?
I'm just fine, Eric. Glad to be with you.
Thank you so much for coming on this morning and talking to all our listeners. Now, I just rattled off a long list of changes that you helped become law in Florida. But as you know, I hate to tell you, your work isn't done. Our listeners want more. What do you think?
Well, I don't blame them. I think that what we did in the past is a good beginning, but I'm very embarrassed, highly embarrassed, by the conduct of some of these people in these HOA administrative positions, and we just gotta clean it up. It's unfortunately, it's a few, but unfortunately, those few surely are some bad actors.
Absolutely,
and we've got to clean them up.
Yeah.
We have to give DBPR the authority to investigate. We have to put meaningful penalties on these people that are misbehaving. And we just got a lot of work yet to do.
Yeah, and I think perhaps you'd agree. I think when we kind of tackled this problem last year, we kind of looked at it as, you know, part one of a two-part process anyway. That's why you thought it so very important to at least get a handle on having HOAs register at the time. We didn't even know how many HOAs there were in the state.
Right.
So, you know, I think we understood going in it was probably going to be a two-part process. But, you know, unquestionably, assisting community associations has now become really a major part of your agenda or your work as a state senator. You know, why really is this issue so important to you?
I try to put myself in the position of those homeowners in the associations that are being victimized by some of the bad actors.
Sure.
And my gracious, if I were suffering through that. You know, let's face it. For most people in America, the single most, the largest investment they make is in their home.
Sure.
And many HOAs are lived in and being run by retired people who don't have a whole lot of income and don't have a whole lot of alternatives. They can't just walk away from it and say, here, I'm tired of your bad acting. You can just have the whole thing, even though we've had some people do that.
We have. You're correct. Yeah.
And for those who are blessed in that magnitude, I'm glad for them that they can do it. But most of the people cannot just afford to walk away from it. They have to sit there and endure it. And nobody should have to endure some of the actions of some of these developers and some of the HOA people. Again, I emphasize, fortunately, it's just a few bad actors, but boy,
sure,
they sure do that bad.
And let me remind our listeners also, I have to tell you, quite frankly, Senator Hayes was one of the few legislators out there who actually 2 years ago even took a stand against HOA developers and required them to actually turn over control of the association even faster than they normally used to have. They had a lot more time. And Senator Hayes stood up for the Floridians to make sure that HOA developers turn over control, because as we know, we hear horror stories year after year about developers not turning over control of their association to the community members. And Senator Hayes even stepped up against developers. So quite frankly, we have a friend in the Florida legislature in that regard. And you know, and as you were saying, it seems we report on this show all the time about so many board members who unfortunately wind up looting from the association's accounts or simply doing things that blatantly violate Florida law and even common sense. Now, you were instrumental 2 years ago in requiring HOA board members to become certified. And how important do you believe it is for board members to take advantage of the educational classes that are available to them? I have to tell you, as you know, you can get certified two ways. One, by taking a class, and the other way, by signing what I call a silly self-serving affidavit. I, for one, would like to see that law changed. I don't want to allow board members to get certified by simply signing an affidavit that says they read their governing documents. Many of the provisions in there are illegal. So I think they should have to take a class, and I'd just love to know your thoughts on that.
Well, number one, taking the class is not going to ensure us that they all behave properly.
Oh, of course. Agreed.
And it's a matter of fact. You simply cannot legislate morality. And if these people are bent on misbehaving or acting in an unethical way, there's not a whole lot we can do about it until we catch them.
Sure.
And then that's one of the things that I want to work on this year, is putting some meaningful penalties into things, into violations, so that these people will think twice before they misbehave.
Yeah, and Scott and Karen, you may recall, we spoke about that about 2 weeks ago on the show, that you really can't legislate morality. If someone's going to be a thief, they're going to be a thief, regardless. And the thought process, like Senator Hayes is saying, is, all right, if you're going to be a thief, fine, but you're going to ultimately wind up paying a price for doing that. You're right. But as our listeners know, the 2015 legislative session really is just around the corner. And our listeners want to know, if our HOA reform bill finally has a shot at becoming law this time. And to recap, let's talk about the bill for 1 second. It would finally allow the DBPR to assist HOAs in the same manner that they already assist condominiums. It would allow for HOA elections to be administered just like condo elections. It would allow for an ombudsman who can monitor elections if requested by the homeowners. And we wouldn't allow arbitrators for both condos and in the HOA platform to refer an arbitration case to a mediator and force that case into a courtroom if the case doesn't settle at mediation, because that quite frankly, is silly. So what do you think? We have a shot this year?
Oh, I think we have a shot, absolutely. If I didn't think I had a shot, I wouldn't file it.
Absolutely.
I got better things to do at the time. But one of the things that I really want to focus on this year is the arbitration process. I can readily understand how things don't always settle at mediation.
Sure.
I am a certified mediator myself and an appellate mediator. But unfortunately, some people don't come to the mediation prepared to settle, and so you can't. But
sure,
Nevertheless, the whole purpose behind setting up the arbitration system is to save money for the residents. And I think for the arbitration to be abandoned simply because they couldn't come to an agreement in a mediation conference is self-defeating.
Of course.
I think we need to revisit that and say, okay, if you don't settle at mediation, then you go back to binding arbitration and make the arbitration be binding.
You have no idea, as an attorney that not only represents associations, but that oftentimes represents unit owners, it's wonderful to actually hear that from you, because oftentimes, you know, it's actually used as a tool by one of the parties to say, no, they go into mediation purposely saying, we're purposely not going to settle because I dare you and you don't have the money to now bring the court action.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I think it's wonderful. Yeah. I'm so happy to hear that you're behind that. I think it's a great thing if that can get changed for certainly condominium associations. And
we need to change it for the HOAs also.
Oh, absolutely. No two ways about it. And, you know, let's address some of the issues that HOAs are, that the DBPR, I should say, is actually already doing for condominium associations, because perhaps not everybody understands just how much work DBPR does for condominiums. So let's just kind of tell everybody what they do already. Again, just for condominiums, they review developer filings to make sure that the developer filings comply with the law. They have a staff of investigators who investigate complaints of association wrongdoing. They publish educational materials for everybody who lives in condominium associations. They have arbitrators who hear disputes between residents and the association. They issue what's called declaratory statements. They operate a question and answer hotline on the telephone. They operate a website complete with questions, answers, forms, instructions, and guidance. And, of course, there's also the Office of the Condominium Ombudsman, who has the authority to assist with supervision of the condo elections. And the DBPR does this for the grand total sum of $4 per unit per year. So I have to ask, Senator, why in the world shouldn't HOA owners be entitled to the same protections that condominium owners get for the lousy sum of $4 per year?
Eric, if I didn't think they should be afforded those protections, I wouldn't be doing this bill.
Of course. I mean, it's something we hear all the time. I have HOA owners begging for it, Senator.
I know it, and they're begging me too. Believe me, you're not the only one getting those emails.
I'm sure, and I'm sure you get them by the dozens as well.
Well, I do, and again, it's embarrassing to me as a legislator that we have allowed this type of behavior to go on, and it's just despicable in many cases, and certainly unacceptable in a whole lot of other cases, and we just have to set about to clean it up. I've met with some of the developers, and I have assured them that it is not my purpose to shut down their industry. And I've told them, I said, guys, really, I'm preaching to the choir. As far as I know, all of you that are here in this meeting are behaving properly. You want to see your industry thrive, as do I.
Of course.
But I said, in the absence of your cleaning up your own industry, then I feel like government has to come in and protect the little guy out there who has no resources to hire an attorney, and the HOA members should not have to pay for all these legal battles.
That's great to hear.
And quite honestly, we have
Senator, I think we have some people that want to call in and just say thanks. How about we go to Alice in Jacksonville, actually. How are you, Alice?
Hi, Senator. I just called to thank you so much.
Well, you're quite welcome, Alice. It's one of those jobs that you're glad to do, but you wish it didn't need to be done.
I know that. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you for the call, you're Alice. Quite-
All right, okay.
How about we go to Larry in, is it Deer Creek, Florida?
Deep
Deep Creek, Florida,
Section 23 in Punta Gorda.
In Punta Gorda, all around the state today. All right, Larry, what'd you like to say to the senator?
Yeah, Senator Hayes, I want to thank you for sponsoring the HOA reform bill. The ongoing issues for homeowners throughout Florida, it's just, you know, it's sad that we have to, we have a board that, you know, the elections here, I mean, they're just not following our governing documents, the Florida laws, it just goes on. And, you know, people are suffering here. We appreciate everything you're trying to do to help us.
Well, you're quite
welcome. Thank you.
I've been getting a lot of emails from your HOA members down there, and I tell you, you need a sewer treatment plant to clean that mess up, I think.
Thank you. Well, hopefully, you know, you're going to make a difference, and we appreciate it very much.
He already has, and he certainly will. Thanks for the call, Larry. Senator, I want to give both you and our readers an actual example. By the way, anybody else want to call
our readers?
Our listeners, I should say. 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. And I want to give both you and our listeners an actual example of how the current laws, the way they are right now, hurt HOA owners. Each year, for example, in both condos and HOAs, the association has to prepare what's called year-end financial statements so that the owners kind of get a clear picture of the finances of their association. And again, it's mandatory for both condos and HOAs. But let's take a scenario where if a condominium fails to prepare that year-end financial report, I oftentimes get a call in the office and they complain about it. And I say, before going through the expense of hiring a lawyer, you can actually contact the DBPR, fill out a form, fill out a complaint, and the DBPR is going to help you. They're going to notify the association to immediately prepare those year-end financial reports. The DBPR is going to want proof that it was done. They're going to want a copy of it. Now, on the other hand, let's say I get that same exact phone call from somebody that lives in an HOA, and they complain that their HOA didn't do the year-end financial reports. You know what I have to tell them? I have to tell them, well, that's too bad. You can't call the DBPR. They can't help you. Looks like you're going to have to file an expensive lawsuit. Oh, you can't hire an attorney? You can't afford one? Sorry, I guess your HOA gets away with it this year. I mean, that's really what HOA members are going through.
Well, and that's one of the purposes behind this bill, is to try to stop that nonsense. It does no good to have the statute tell the HOA that they have to prepare these reports if you don't have any penalty if they refuse to do so.
Of course, and I'll tell you, I use that as an example for another reason, because I have to tell you, typically the DBPR, they certainly would like to see, you know, compliance. They like to teach, you know, education. They want to make sure going forward that the association doesn't do this anymore. But the one thing they will not tolerate, I've seen time and again, is a failure to file year-end financial reports. And I've seen HOAs get away with it for a while there's no teeth in the statute to force them to actually comply.
Well, don't you think it's appropriate for a dentist to put teeth in it?
That's the line of the show,
good.
Right? That's the line of the show,
that
right?
Is.
Hey, I'm supposed to be the guy with the joke. Anyway, all right, how about we go to Elizabeth in Boca? How are you, Elizabeth?
Good afternoon to all of you. Senator Hayes, I can thank you personally. Having had my blood spread, I know exactly what the problems were and are, and I know what you have done so far and are going to do, God willing, to make things better. Personally, I know about this.
Well,
it's unfortunate that you've had that personal experience, but you're just another one of those folks that I'm trying to help.
And I was a board member. That's how I know about it.
Elizabeth is a long-time listener. Thank you so much for calling in today, Elizabeth.
Thank
much
you.
Appreciated.
Uh-huh.
So, Senator, you see what the legislation can really do for HOA owners throughout the state, but... And there are a few people out there, I can't figure out why or how, but they actually believe that $4 fee is actually too high. It's kind of unconscionable, at least in my opinion, for them to think that way. And then, you know, I understand that the DBPR perhaps thinks that the condo owners may actually be able to benefit here, because if this new law goes through, perhaps the fee may go down for condo owners as well, and maybe we can do it across the board for even as much as $2 per unit for both condos and HOAs. You know, what's your thought?
Well, quite honestly, and I don't mean to seem callous, but if $4 a year is too much, perhaps you have no business living in an HOA. and so get over it.
Sure.
Now, having said that, and I know that sounds quite harsh, and I don't intend to be that harsh, but nevertheless, I'm not in favor of just accumulating money in the state treasury in that trust fund that says, okay, here's for the enforcement of the HOA and the condo statutes.
Sure.
So we're gonna work with the DBPR folks to determine what we think is an appropriate level for the fee. The question is, okay, should we commingle the HOA and the condo enforcement section of DBPR, or should we keep them separate?
Sure.
Why should condo members be paying for HOA enforcement and vice versa?
Sure.
We sort of have a several fine lines that we have to try to negotiate, and it's not unheard of for, and I know this is going to shock a lot of people, but it's not unheard of for state regulatory fees to be lowered because the trust fund becomes too fat.
Exactly.
We're able to lower it.
Yeah, yeah. And I get it. That. Yeah, I certainly do get it. You know, I know condo owners have a complaint that their $4 a year doesn't necessarily all go back to them, and sometimes it gets swept up into the general fund. I get it, and I can see, you know, being upset about that, but it still doesn't take away from the fact that for $4 a year, everybody in an HOA is going to wind up with an incredible amount of benefits. I mean, that's the bottom line to me. Don't complain about the $4.
And if indeed we have statutory authority for the agency to protect these people, $4 a year is $8 a year, quite candidly,
of course,
is a very low fee.
Sure.
You can't even go to Burger King and get a hamburger, a Whopper, and a drink for $4.
And take it from an attorney who practices in this area. I promise that $4 fee is pretty cheap compared to whether or not you get saved from participating in one lawsuit throughout
right.
the year. Yeah, you're going to wish you paid that $4 fee. So we go to Al in Brooksville, Florida. Where is Brooksville?
Due west of Orlando, right?
How are you, Al?
Yeah, north of Orlando, west of Orlando, north of Tampa.
Welcome to the show. You have a question for Senator Hayes?
Yeah, Senator Hayes, first I'd like to thank you for the work you're doing on the new HOA bill. The
you're
question,
welcome,
though,
sir.
Has to do with a provision that I'm not sure that it's in there, but we'd like to see that it gets in there. Does the bill have a provision where minutes of an annual members meeting in an HOA have to be verified by an affidavit that is signed by the secretary? And how can that be enforced?
I can answer that question for you, Senator. Right now, there's nothing in either the condo statute or the HOA statute that actually even talks about minutes, other than the fact that the associations required to have a book of minutes. There's actually nothing that actually talks about how you go about preparing minutes or the form that they need to be prepared in. It's simply they have to be maintained for a period of, I think, 7 years or so. So, yeah, that's something that's oftentimes asked of us at our seminars. You know, what's the proper procedure? What's required under the statute? The answer for now, is not much. And that's probably something that should best be determined by the DBPR by way of rule rather than including it in the statute. How about we go to Barbara in Hollandale?
Yes, hi. This is Barbara in Hollandale. I have a question regarding the strength of the DBPR to actually carry out investigations.
Sure.
I found them lacking in that regard. I filed a complaint with them, and their suggestion was that I'm a board member, and that their suggestion was that I get my own lawyer to discuss the situation. And the situation was I had asked to see the invoices from our legal firm for the year 2013. I was denied access by the treasurer to review these unless they were redacted. And, in fact, I, as a board member, would have to send a certified letter to receive this information. I found that entirely inappropriate for a member of the board to have to jump those hurdles. When I filed the complaint with the DBPR, they told me they really can't do anything, that I need to get my own lawyer.
Well, I'll throw this out. There's certainly some people out there who think and may agree with you that they'd actually like to see the DBPR have even more teeth than they already have. Senator,
yes.
I'm sure, Senator Hayes, yes. You might hear that once in a while, too.
I do, and I agree with them. Absolutely. I think that's a good example right there of the statutory authority and instruction that DDPR needs to have in order to help these people. I mean, you know, Will Rogers asked one time, why do they call it common sense when so few people seem to have any? But that is a perfect case right there. Here you have a sitting board member.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you have a sitting board member who asks to see an invoice for professional services to the HOA or the condo association, whichever it may be. Well, I find that refusal to be just totally contrary to common sense.
Well, I'll tell
those board members have access to everything.
Of course.
And anybody who says it's got to be redacted, in my book, is full of baloney.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think condo owners and hopefully HOA owners caught a break last week, because there's a new division director by the name of Kevin Stanfield at the helm up there. And if you want to talk about a guy that's on top of his game and truly, truly cares about the residents of the state of Florida who live in condominiums, and hopefully he'll get the chance to spread his knowledge to people who live in HOAs too, Kevin Stanfield is your guy. So, Barbara, just hang in there. And hopefully between the statute and between the new legislation and Mr. Stanfield, I think we're well on our way to some good things happening.
Good, because I just want to see the DBPR have more clout in taking care
of
these.
Understood.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yes, ma'am. And if I can put in a shameless compliment to the DBPR secretary himself, Mr. Ken Lawson.
Sure.
Ken shares concern and shares your zeal for correction, but his hands are somewhat tied by the statute.
Sure.
And he's been very cooperative in working with us to try to bring good changes into being.
I think we got another fan from Bob from Pembroke Pines. How are you, Bob?
Hi.
How can we help
you, Bob?
Good morning,
Senator Bob. Hi, Senator Hayes. Good morning. I'd just like to say thanks for all the work that you're doing on the Senate Bill 1348. I would like to see it get passed, mainly because you have in there, for the first time I've seen in 17 years I've been on my board, about husband-wife teams not being able to serve on the board. We presently have a husband-wife team, and we can't get anything done as long as they're on the board.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, because she's the wife is in caps and husband is in small letters.
You know. But that's any marriage, quite
wearing
frankly.
The pants.
Right. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
That may work well for him at home, but I wouldn't suggest it working well in the board.
It's on the board because they also have one friend that votes for them all the time, and the other one's wishy-washy. You know.
Well, that was already taken care of. That's already, Bob, you should know, that's already the law in condominiums, where husband and wife can no longer serve on the board at the same time unless they own more than one unit, or there's not enough volunteers who actually want to serve on the board. So condos took care of that already, and I agree. For most associations are real thankful about that.
We have other people that want to serve on the board, but we can't get enough people for an election. You know,
sure.
We can't get a forum of.
Well, let's talk about that. That's exactly what we're trying to change and what Senator Hayes is trying to do with the HOA reform bill. As you know, in a condo, you have an election each year as long as 20% of the eligible people participate in the election. Then you have a valid election. In an HOA, we hear horror stories year after year after year. There was no election this year. Why? Because we can't get a quorum at our annual meeting. That nonsense has to come to an end. And that's exactly why the HOA statute needs to mirror the condo statute when it comes to elections.
Yeah, we needed 30%. We have 456 units. I was able to collect 83 proxies, and the management company told me that they only received two mail-in proxies out of the rest of the homes, which after all these years, I found out that's kind of hard to believe.
Absolutely.
Since we normally get about 50 or 60.
I think this particular process is just as important as anything else we have coming up in the HOA reform bill, and I certainly would love to see it passed. We get these horror stories all day long sent to us by email or at the seminars. People hate the HOA election process, and I, for one, can't wait to see it changed. But, Bob, thank you so much from Pembroke Pines. The 5 minutes we got left, how about we go to Ellen in Davie, Florida. How are you, Ellen?
I'm fine, thank you. I was curious. I know how hard the senators and representatives worked to update Chapter 718 for the condos, and I believe it was either 2013, I think, the legislative session updated Chapter 718 so that licensed community association managers could be disciplined for violating any portion of Chapter 718.
Right.
And the complaints that have been filed by my condo association against our property manager, they keep coming back with saying there's no probable cause, but that because the Council of Community Association Managers never implemented the provisions that were set forth in the statutes to have a rule. And in order for them to be disciplined for violation of 718, there has to be a rule, even though the statute says violating any portion
right.
of 718.
Well,
and I was just wondering, how you work so hard, and then look what happens.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, there's certainly provisions in effect, and I've seen it happen, you know, certainly more than once. CAMs can absolutely wind up getting in trouble for failing to follow the law, especially if they do it deliberately. So, yes, over the years, at least I can say, Senator, I've heard a lot of times complaints that CAMs that are blatantly violating the law, and I'm not saying that happens often because, quite frankly, it doesn't, but CAMs that are blatantly violating law tend to walk away without any punishment whatsoever. And it goes back to what another caller was saying previously. They'd like to see some of these governmental organizations with a little more teeth. What's your thought, Senator?
Well, I agree, and unfortunately, in most of these situations where you're aware of misconduct, the fact that the agency does shut down a CAM somewhere else doesn't help you at all if it doesn't solve your own problem. I know of at least two specific actions by DBPR that have resulted in community association managers giving up their certificate, you know. But, you know, my thinking is let's look at that particular situation. Let's talk with the DBPR people and find out what do they need in statute to empower them to stop this kind of bad action.
Exactly.
And then let's go ahead and put it in the bill.
Alan, thanks so much for the phone call. We got a couple more people in the minute or two we got left. How about Mary in Punta Gorda? How are you, Mary?
Good afternoon. We're totally in support of reform for Chapter 720 in relation to to HOAs. In particular, there's a section in there about the annual minutes. In our case here, our POA won't make them available to the members for at least another year because they keep telling us they're not ready. Also, they used a court reporter at the last meeting, and they said that they would not have that transcribed and released to the membership unless they go to court against us.
And there you go.
So
that's exactly what I was saying earlier.
We seriously
earlier.
Have a yeah. problem.
Senator, it's exactly what I was saying before. You have associations, you know, some associations, just daring you to go to court because they know the bottom line is yep. you're probably not going to take a few thousand dollars out of your own money and file a lawsuit against us. So, you know, we feel we can act with impunity, quite frankly.
Yes, and I agree. And in spite of the fact that the statute says that they have to keep minutes, and that the minutes have to be provided within 10 days after a request for them, you know?
Sure.
That is, you know, so there again, it does no good to lay down the rules if you don't have some meaningful enforcement behind it. And that's what we have to strive to develop. This
yeah,
year.
And Mary, I think we're on the way there. So just hang in. Rome wasn't built in a day. But I got to tell you, it's been a great start over the last year or two. So just hang in there. And how about we go to Howie in Hollywood, Florida?
Hi. Great show. I just wanted to give the Senate some more justification to put in the bill that it will definitely increase property values, and the realtors would also love it this way. When they show a unit, they can show the credibility of the operation of the association at the same time. So thanks for the good work, Senator.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
You know, I think that's Howie, thanks so much for that phone call. You know what? I agree with that statement. I think if you can get HOA's condominiums in line, you know that everything is being done above board. There's no shenanigans going on. Yes, I think that would potentially increase property values as well. But I think that brings us to the end of our show today, Senator Hayes. All I can tell you is thank you so much for giving our listeners today an hour of your valuable time. Anything you need from us, anything you want us to do to help get the word out that would help get this legislation passed, or anything we can do for you, please let us know, because I can tell you there's a lot of people out there that would love to do whatever volunteer work it would take to help get this law passed. So, again, don't hesitate to call on the listeners of this show.
All right. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your time today, Senator Hayes. You have a good day.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Y'all have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
You too, Senator. Take care. Okay. Well, that was a lot of fun.
Yes.
We got about maybe a minute or so left. Everybody, finally, the schedule for our board member certification classes are out really until all of next year, including as well. I don't have the list in front of me, but we got January now coming up for Orlando. We got February at the Hard Rock back in Fort Lauderdale. March, we're in Bonita Springs. We'll have the big May event. The only thing that's not on the sign-up sheet so far is May. Other than that, all our events you can now register for, just go to www.condocrazeandhoas.com. Again, www.condocrazeandhoas.com. Sign up. We'll send you back an email that you're registered, and we really look forward to the coming year in teaching everybody and getting even more people certified than we already have. I think this week we passed the, 8,500 mark.
Wow.
When we
you're
had the
amazing.
Pleasure of kicking off the South Florida Condo Co-op and HOA Expo. To those people who showed up and took our class on Thursday, it was an honor and a pleasure teaching all of you. Hope everybody enjoyed today's show. I thought today's show was great.
Fantastic.
And, Scott, big day for the Dolphins today. I guess
yes.
Today's do or
go
die.
Go Fins.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think season's over if they lose today.
Yeah, so, all right, good luck, Dolphins. Thanks to our producer, by the way, Chris, for handling the incredible switchboard today. So thanks for your time, Chris, and everybody. Have a great week, and see you next week on Condo Craze and HOAs.